Hey, good morning, my friends. Now, we got a few people absent, but that's all right. We need to be faithful to whoever God puts in this direction. The good news is, let's see now, all kinds of good things. The gospel is going out. People are being loved on with wild abandonment. There's a whole bunch of faithful people. The sun is shining, Lady Di points out. The birds are singing, the children are playing in the streets, and there's never going to be another bad day. Well, kind of. Okay. With that in mind, we're going to open in prayer and indeed see where God takes all of this. It's part of the adventure, isn't it, Jim? Nod your head. Okay. Father God, it's your grace, your wonderful grace, your mercy that reaches to the heavens. Brings us indeed to a new day, a day like no other day ever before. Father, that you would indeed just kind of gather us together now. We pray your precious spirit to be the real teacher. Lord, as we open your word, well, we need to be taught absolutely by you. They certainly don't need to hear my vain words, Lord. We all need to hear from you. To be changed to be more like you day by day. Lord, your word is a treasure. It is meat and drink for our souls. Feed us, we pray, Lord, to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As our study begins, I ran across this. It's an article called Transformed by Thorns. Ooh, Transformed by Thorns. It's a Dr. E. Stanley Jones. And this is what he says. I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear or doubt and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is grasping for breath. These are not my native air, but in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. A Johns Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that warriors die sooner than non-warriors. But that is a fact. But I, who am simple of mind, I think I know. This guy says he's simple in mind. Right. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith, not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. We have been fashioned, listen again, for faith, not fear. That's important, for faith, not fear. We are in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. We begin, and we looked at it briefly last week at the end, verse 4 of chapter 4, where he simply says something Marquita to abide by all the time, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So we just kind of close the Bible and move on. Should be enough, huh? Again, I say rejoice. What Paul is saying, despite hard realities, joy should be found in a believer. Listen to that. Joy should be found in a believer. On a Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, or any time this fellowship would gather together, this morning in prayer, it's not that people don't come with the realities of hard circumstances. I know a brother that's waiting for a phone call from a medical institution that would make a heart tremble right now. There are a variety of things, ebbs and flows, and they are very real life circumstances. But joy should be found in a believer. You walk into a fellowship, you should be able to experience joy found in a believer. Because why? We are fashioned for faith, not fear, as Dr. Jones put it. The confidence that God is in absolute control. I love Spurgeon, my buddy Spurgeon. When we get to heaven, you know, there are those that are going to look Paul up and Daniel. I'm going to look Spurgeon up. This is a good deal, yeah? And seeing how he's pretty English like me, I figure I'll be able to see him eye to eye, but that's beside the point. Charles says, what a gracious God we serve, who makes delight to be a duty, who makes delight to be a duty, and who commands us to rejoice. Should we not all at once be obedient to such a command at this question? Shouldn't we? It is intended, I love it, that we should be happy. We should be happy. Isn't that right, Steve? We find the credit cards, we should be happy, right? Nod your head. Another story, we won't go there, okay? In light of all of this, verse 5, Paul would say, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. See, we can be like this because be patient, forbearing, yielding rather than contending, to let the Lord fight the battles. And in that, in the icing on the cake and all of that, as we're yielding, patient, walking in that direction, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can show that gentleness to all because, and this is the way Paul lived, this is the way we need to live, the Lord is at hand. 2,000 years ago, he's imprisoned, waiting for his audience before Nero, the first imprisonment. And he can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But he believes earnestly the Lord is at hand. Paul is writing with expectation the return of our Lord, because he's going to make all the stuff that's wrong, he's going to make it right. And, you know, he saw a world he felt that was falling apart. And just spend a little time on the 24/7 news cycle and you will have to agree. Living that life, to living a life in a hurry up and wait world, in all of this, we really need a prayer life, a prayer life. Because we were fashioned for faith, not fear. I keep saying it over and over, but you need to hear that. Reminds me of a story. And ran across this. Jeff might have heard this a few years back at the care home, but this is a great story. Okay. The story goes, for several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. Good evening, said the man of the house. I am pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She has been waiting 10 years to meet you. The worry. Now, you know, made up, maybe, but we can worry. And God would not have us worry. We love to worry. Oh, woe is me, all right? Oh, man. The Spirit of God would take this worry, all right? So are you ready? In verse 6, so important, so very important. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Our Father is in charge. Roots, guts, feathers, and all. Yes, everything. He commands this. He doesn't suggest it. He commands, don't worry about anything. Anything. The area of concern is not our domain. Though there may be burdens on our heart, But we'll deal with that here in a minute. But that domain is our Lord's, truly to let go and let God. What over and over the God of all creation says, over and over, there is nothing too hard for me. And he's got this, he says. I've got it. I've got it. The Spirit of God would so touch Paul's heart as he pens this letter to the Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, everything. For all is important in the eyes of God with respect to our lives. Christy, as she was ill at the retreat, that was important to the Lord. And that the God and God of all creation would work within her lives. You know, and we could go on and on. There are no accidents or mistakes in God's kingdom. God draws us and he cares for us. And he would work in us, even our very breath. We are to pray. Looking a little closer, prayer gives us a fellowship with our Father. Take note, a communion. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Indeed, in that communion, those things that are heavy on our hearts, in a sense, we should put those on the heart of God. Years ago, Damien Kyle, I remember it was just very clear. He was talking about the issue of his morning devotions. And you know, people will come to, and he's really a pastor's pastor in so many ways. Just a wonderful, wonderful man of God. But people will come to, you know, Damien, how do you pray? How do you do your devotions, et cetera, et cetera? Do you read for an hour and then pray for 3 hours or what have you. And he wouldn't give him a quantitative number, but with respect to prayer, this stuck in at least my mind. Everything that's heavy on my heart, I put that on the heart of God, and I'll know when to stop when that's happened. That could be 20 minutes, that could be 2 hours, whatever. To put those things that are heavy on your hearts, to put them on the heart of God. He knows our needs before we ask. He is in the process of changing us. Would he have us have a heavy heart and worry? The command is no. And the very point of communion in prayer, that fellowship with God, placing those things that are on the heart of God, changes us. Now, hey, with clarity, the Lord knows what we need. He has chosen, he commands us what? To pray, to knock, to ask, to seek. We know that clearly. And the how of all of this, with a thankful heart, love it. With a thankful heart. With respect to Thanksgiving, Pastor David Gluzak, he makes a comment. With that heart of Thanksgiving, this guards against, in effect, the whining and complaining spirit before God. To go to God with a thankful heart, as opposed to going to God with a whining and complaining spirit, we really do need to be anxious for nothing, pray about everything, but to be thankful for anything. Wow. It's tough when you're not thankful because you got the wrong color Maserati, right? We're laughing a little bit. You're trading yours in. Yeah, you won't have that red. Yeah, Ferrari next time. Now, because of all of this, and here, before I leave this, of course, and as a paraphrase of this, what to worry about no thing, to pray about everything, to give thanks for anything, and the peace of God. This is that next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The promise of peace. The promise of peace. The peace of God. By the way, the Bible describes peace, aspects of peace as they relate to God. Here, listen with your heart just a wee bit. Here, the peace, there's a peace from God. And we see Paul using that over and over as he introduces his letter, our letters over time. And we need to be reminded that peace comes from God. So Paul introduces his letters, peace from God to you, in effect, as I write this to you. There is a peace with God, never to be underestimated, more important than anything I can even imagine, because it describes our relationship with God through what? The absolute finished work of our Lord. See, we can have peace with God because of what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done gives us, indeed, that peace with God. But this is a little different now. The peace of God. It's interesting. It's interesting. A little different take. A peace that is beyond understanding, he says. Beyond that power of thinking. Again, Spurgeon, what is God's peace? He says, the unruffled serenity of the infinite happy God, the eternal composure of the absolutely well-contented God. I don't know what you do with that, but I thought it was way cool, okay? A peace that doesn't just surpass understanding, this is important, at least the understanding of a worldly man, it surpasses all understanding. And what's interesting, even usins, even godly in Christ Jesus, according to this, we don't understand it either, and yet it is a gift to us. Watch what it does. Look at what this peace will do within our lives. It will what? Guard your hearts and minds. There is a Greek concept in there, a Greek word, and it's a military action. This peace will guard your mind. In a sense, our hearts and minds. And this is absolutely needed in the world that we find ourselves in. Adam Clark, speaking of this peace, it shall keep them as in a strong place or castle. It will keep us there. There is a battle, a work that the Father would do, and quite frankly, it begins with the mind. It begins with the mind. And in that, we have a choice. Ooh, the Calvinists don't like this, but that's beside the point. Here we have a choice. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In the playground of our minds, and it is at times, all right? All you could do is spend a little time on the Discovery Channel in the playground of our minds, huh? What are we thinking about? What is our mind concentrating on? Who could take issue with this list? All right. Noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. These are the things, these are meat and drink. These are meat and drink. Apparently, our thought life is not a small matter to our Lord. He knows that that's an avenue to our heart. Paul knew it as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to even write it. But in 2 Corinthians, he would write, chapter 10, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience to Christ. Man, you know, we can read this. And again, I'm preaching to the choir. Yes, Joe. But it's so easy to read it, but to do it, to allow this to be manifested moment by moment in our lives. And as Paul would write to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. You know, over and over, what we're seeing is there's a battle for that playground for our thought life. There is a battle going on there. And there's a warning. The warning says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be bent to this world. Don't be shaped by this world. A culture that is an open rebellion to the Lord. Open rebellion. I am very English. The DNA people, they claim I'm more English than most English. So you know where part of my problems are, okay? 85% English. All right. We're afraid to even look in that direction, huh? And somewhere in Western Europe, you know, that kind of thing. But neither here nor there. When I think of the land of that my father came from in 1927, this is the land of Spurgeon, the land of great, great thousands, tens of thousands of missionaries were sent around the world. Indeed, awesome outreach of the gospel. Millions came to know the Lord without a doubt. I read in a news scenario, one of them is a Christian news highlight or what have you, and it's talking about the Anglican Church in England. And how there are Anglican priests that have one or two parishioners in the body. There are people that are on the payroll that preach to an empty house. And you think, oh Lord, what happened? What happened is you have a culture that bent, people that bent to the culture of the world. They allowed that playground to get more and more. It wasn't the issue of thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. No. What other thing to entertain? What other thing to distract? And it wasn't the things that would build up. It was the things that would rob and steal. Rob and steal. The culture of this world, and now I'm not talking about just England, all of us. The culture of this world is in rebellion, and we are not to conform. Jesus would say in truly the Lord's Prayer, John 17, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. To protect them from the evil one. Jeff and I were just talking about just a few minutes ago, we have a loved one at the care home. Suicidal thoughts. And it's just the enemy would come in and just wants to destroy and rob. And I believe prayer made a difference there. And I pray it continues in that direction. We need to guard our hearts, guard our minds. The avenue is the mind. The avenue is mine. How? The very real thing, the peace of God. You thought I forgot about that. The peace of God is doing the guarding. The peace of God is doing the guarding. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Protecting us from the evil one. That's what the peace of God is doing. And these are actions moment by moment. What? Transforming our mind. And most of you know this, but that Greek word is metamorphize, transforming. And it's the same word that's in effect used for the transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord. There is a work that God would do day by day. What's it look like? What's this transformation look like? This is important. Short preacher, short message. So stay with me. What does this transformation look like? What does it do? What does it feel like? And the answer is neither of this initially. Doesn't look not to do, not to act, neither of those initially. What we need to ask, when this stuff surfaces, what is true? Listen to that. What is true? What are we dwelling on? What is true? What is true? In effect, the lens is God's word. And you folks here, you know God's word. You know, every one of you. All right? Some may be a little bit more than others, but God's spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you my spirit. And he will teach you in all things and bring you remembrance of whatsoever things I have said. And the Spirit of God is there to teach. So here, what is true? There's the lens. There's the lens. So what does God's word say with respect to the thoughts that are surfacing? That which I'm pondering. That which I'm considering. What is true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? If the answer is no, 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 we need to go away from that. To prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, to be transformed inside, the proof then will be evident on the outside. As we check out what's true and what isn't, and we concentrate on those things on the inside, the peace of God guards our heart, and we begin to manifest the doing and the actions on the outside. On the outside. On the outside. Final thought. Well, a poem. But listen with your heart. The mind is like a crowded street where phantom thoughts like people meet. Some hard at work and some are idle. Some stay at home, some wander far. Some thoughts wield power that ever lives, a power that inspiration gives. While others dwell with us a while, then pass as transient as a smile. Thus come and go these thoughts of ours, some perfume laden as the flowers, while others sear our lives with blight and bring no pleasure or delight. Our thinking lifts us to the stars or seals our hearts with prison bars, confers on us both joy and strife, for as we think we fashion life. As we think, we were what? We were made for faith, not fear. The avenue of prayer to allow God's peace to guard our heart, indeed mind and soul, to think on those things that build us up, not those things that tear us down. If it's true, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? Are we rejoicing? Are we joyful? Have we put all of those burdens that are heavy on our hearts on the heart of God? He calls us to a communion, a walk with Him, and He calls us to ask, to seek, to knock. He also calls us to rest in Him. That may be harder for us in this microwave generation that we are part of. Diane, no matter what we put in the microwave. Another story, another day. May the peace of God guard our hearts, all of us. Let's close in prayer. Father God, you are again so gracious, so good and kind. And we do pray that your peace would guard our hearts. And we would think on those things truly, Lord, that honor you and are praised to your glory. All of us have different paths today, but I pray earnestly, Father, that your steps would be our pathway. Again, praise to your glory. Oh, we thank you. But indeed, most of all, we thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.